Alright, guys, let's backlog these Kwanzaa days. Day 2, day 3, day 4. Kwanzaa day 2 is Kujichagulia. Kujichagulia, day 2. So that day involves reflection on self-determination. It requires that we define our common interests and make decisions that are in the best interest of our family and community. Kujichagulia. I'm going to go through these all, but bear with me as I do day 3 and day 4 as well, so you can just get the general overview. Kwanzaa day 3 was about Ujima. Ujima. Collective work and responsibility reminds us of our obligation to the past, present, and future, and that we have a role to play in the community, society, and world. Ujima. And day 4. Ujama. Ujama. Kwanzaa day 4 was Ujama. I'm recording this on day 5, and I only recorded day 1 beforehand, which is why I'm doing a backlog of days 2, 3, 4. Ujama. Cooperative economics. Cooperative economics. Commitment to the practice of shared social wealth and the work necessary to achieve it. Commitment to the practice of shared social wealth and the work necessary to achieve it. It means to build and maintain our stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. The togetherness. So let's go. Day 2. Kujichagulia. Self-determination. What have we been doing for self-determination, guys? It says that it requires that we define our common interests and make decisions that are in the best interest of our family and community. So how do we define our common interests? What does that even mean? What does self-determination mean? When I think about self-determination, I think about what it is that I'm striving towards and kind of how my motivation and energy are getting me there. But when we're talking about defining common interests and decisions that are in the best interest of our family and community, and how that kind of gets us to the same common goals, what does that look like? How would you define common interests? What would that look like? So if you have a family that's practicing this, or a group of friends that's practicing this, you know, you can reflect on common interests, things that you all enjoy, like, have goals towards. A lot of my friends and I have goals towards finances. Now, everyone kind of has maybe their own different area in there that they're maybe focused on. Some people are saving for something specific. Some people are trying to get their debt under control. Some people are trying to make more money. excuse me. And what are these, you know, common interests that are in the best interest of our family and community. Now, sometimes I'll say, you know, I've been part of groups and, you know, friend groups that, you know, it was a sense of community where we all had the common interest of maybe partying like it was 1999. We partied. Boy, did we party. Now, was that in the best interest of our community, of our friend group? Maybe not. Maybe we went overboard sometimes. Maybe it wasn't, you know, wholesome. But nevertheless, we did it. I'd say in my family, some of our common interests and decisions that are kind of like in the best interest of our family, just something as simple as eating meals together. It might not be easy, you know, people might have their different energies and their different social ways about them, and sometimes it's hard to kind of hang out with each other if somebody's kind of grumpy or whatever. Sometimes it's maybe not the most pleasant experience, but it is in the best interest to at least make that time. Otherwise, if nobody does, it's like we never really see each other. Everyone's just going about their separate lives. I remember, what was I watching? I think I was watching this, there's this independent film called, Manic, and it has, I forgot the name, the main actor's name, let me look it up. It has Zoe Deschanel and Don Cheadle and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And in this movie, you know, it's basically an inpatient youth facility. I believe everyone's probably not everyone was under the age of 18. But I guess this unit was, people that seemed like they were under the age of 18, teenagers mostly, and it's a mental health movie about Don Cheadle, you know, kind of being in charge of this place, and he facilitates these group therapy sessions, and they go around and they read these cards, and everyone kind of answers what's on the card, and I can't remember the question, but one person said, you know, to as an answer to like something along the lines of, what's your family like or what's your household like? And they said, you know, my household is like a hotel. We all live together. We're all cordial. Everyone lives their separate lives. But, you know, nobody really has like a connection, and they're not really like having like a sense of togetherness. And when I heard that, I was like, man, I can semi-relate, but at the same time, I'm like, we're a little more involved than that, but I could see how families kind of get pretty distant if there's nobody pushing to kind of, like, do anything together, take a trip together, go make a plan together, do anything together, watch even a movie in the house or an episode of some random thing. If nobody suggests it, and people don't just naturally fall into it, then it's like, yeah, it becomes like a hotel, you know? And to me, I don't know if I would value having a hotel, like a hotel with my family members. I mean, I wouldn't say that we need to be all like super involved all day, every day about every single detail of our lives. I mean, I really love my space, but we all kind of value, you know, having some time to catch up or at least be in the same space at the same time, even if we're not really talking. But we have to use self-determination in this too, because it takes that extra step of effort to kind of make it so that people are even having a conversation or meeting. Like, I've asked my friends, you know, what are your New Year's resolutions? Or people have asked me that. Usually during the year, a lot of people don't talk about resolutions. And all of a sudden, you know, I noticed I started talking about them this year, and other people have been asking me. And so I'm like, people do have resolutions. Because in the last, maybe a decade or so, it seems like nobody had any New Year's resolutions. It wasn't cool. People didn't find them valuable. They didn't find them useful. And we use this sense of community to kind of talk about them. And, like, maybe we're not, like, having some kind of budgeting group or whatever, or educational finance group or something. But it's like, yeah, we all kind of have pretty common goals. And it's like, I have community with certain people that don't even know each other. It's like, to me, these people are my community, even though it's not the same groups. It's like I've got my San Diego community, my LA community. But just making that extra effort to, like, ask people or tell people or inspire people, or, you know, like, it's not like you're solo, self-determined by yourself, without the community kind of having similar goals, talking about similar goals, catching up on them. You know, will I ask my friends in a couple months, like, hey, how are you doing on your finances? Maybe if they seem like it's something they want to talk about, maybe I'll ask them. I mean, I don't want to get all up in everybody's business. They don't need to, like, show me, like, their balance and their banks or whatever. But moving on to day 3, Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Just that word alone almost reminds me of, you know, I've seen in some communities, or heard about in some communities, how they have, like, community gardens where people garden and other people can come and harvest from those gardens when they need vegetables. You know, so let's see what it says. It says, reminds us of our obligation to the past, present, and future. Right? And that we have a role to play in the community, society, and the world. So this goes larger. It's larger than just what I do for my work. It's collective work, what we all do. How it ties into past, present, and future. How it ties into communities, society, and the world. How work, how there's a sense of work, even if it's not paid work, even if it's hobbies or things like that. Like, what are you involved with that involves collective work and responsibility? What are you involved with that plays a role in society, plays a role in the world, in your community? What are you reminded of your past, of your present, of your future? What obligations do you have? What obligations did you have in your past? How is that different now? What obligations do you think you'll have in the future? I mean, a lot of that's going to be based on what you've got going on right now. So Ujima, collective work and responsibility. It's not just a solo thing. I hope those sirens are gonna go help somebody. I hope they get the help they need. We have not had sirens in a while. So yeah. Maybe the sirens have kind of decreased a little bit, which maybe that's good. And day 4, backlog of day four. Ujamaa. Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, commitment to the practice of shared social wealth and the work necessary to achieve it. It means to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. When you make money, do you ever share that money or does it all go back to you? What does that look like? Are you a person who practices a religion where you tithe or give offerings of some sort financially? Or maybe you have a religion where you buy fruits and incense and different types of things that you purchase that represent something and you give it as like an offering, as a gift. Maybe it's not coins, money, dollars, but you use those to give do you volunteer of your time? I mean, cooperative economics is something that is important. You know, business owners hire people, right? Business owners hire people. Cooperative economics. Business owners hire people to work under them and do work. Right now I'm interning for free. So there's a CEO that has hired out myself as well as other interns through a program where we don't get paid for 90 days doing work, free labor. We're giving to this company. We're giving to this startup our skills, our energy, our time. We are getting educated in return. We get a potential recommendation. We get potential job opportunities. That's still a form of this small business giving back to us. Now she's not giving direct dollar amounts to us, but she can write off that we finished our hours, and she can write off that we are eligible for a certification, and we get a certificate and we can add it to our resume and we can apply for jobs that we wouldn't have been able to apply for before because they said you have to have experience, and we didn't have any experience, and so we went and got an internship and got experience, and then we take those skills and we give to another job, and then we get money and we take that money and we give some of that money. Maybe we donate to a Chabad. Maybe we donate to an orphanage. Maybe we donate our time to an old folks home. And we visit the elderly. And we read to them. And we play music with them. And we exercise with them. And we joke with them. And we catch up on their lives. We give of ourselves. I know usually this one is kind of more on the economic end, but not everybody has money to give. I understand that, you know. So what are we doing? If we don't have money to give, what are we doing? Do we give to the homeless when we see them? If we don't give them money, do we buy them a sandwich? You know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, and I don't always do this. I do this very rare occasion when I feel like it. I live in a city that has so many homeless people that I personally, myself, cannot afford to give to every single homeless person that I pass. So I have to choose. And I choose by, do I feel like I have the time and energy and willpower and desire at the moment when I'm going into the store, and if I'm buying something, you know, if I'm getting a Subway, maybe I'll get them a Subway. If I'm getting in and out, maybe I'll get them in and out. Maybe. This is like maybe. I'm not like 100%. You know, if I'm getting a soda, maybe I'll get them a soda. You know, just buy two of something. Just buy them a little thing. You don't even have to spend as much money on them as you do on yourself. Buy them like a 99 cents bag of pretzels and a water. I mean, you never know what people are going through, you know? There was a lady that, you know, was asking for cash to help pump my gas. because she was needing a little extra cash here and there. She wasn't at the busiest gas station. It wasn't the most expensive gas station. She's like, anything you have. And I was out doing deliveries and I had snacks with me. So I gave her one of my perfect bars. And I was like, sorry, this is kind of all I have. Like, I can't really give you cash, but is this okay? And she pumped my gas in exchange for a perfect bar. And I don't remember if there was some other kind of snack, but, you know, she was cool with it. And we kind of had a little chit-chat. She was respectful. I was respectful. And I didn't have to give her anything, but I was kind of thinking on my toes. And I was like, I do want to give her something, and I have some unopened snacks. You know, that's all I could really do. Because I had all my money on my card, and I wasn't going to go get a fee for using my Venmo debit card at a gas station ATM to give her $20 or ask for change after spending like an extra $3 for like a fee. I was like, I don't really want to spend that extra money, that extra $3. You know, that might have been what I got for one of the delivery gigs. You know, it might have been about $3. So it's like, I don't really, you know, it was a short day. I wasn't doing a lot of work. And I was like, I need all the profits that I got. I'm not trying to give any of that away, but I did have something on me. So it's like, yeah, sometimes if you want to be generous a little bit, think on your toes. What can you give? Do I have anything that I can give you that would be of benefit? You know, if I don't have cash, can I buy you a water? Or the cheapest thing in there that's edible? You know, how, what are the options? You know, it doesn't always mean if there's a homeless person, give them cash. You know? And, you know, how do we share social wealth? How do we practice sharing social wealth? This isn't an easy topic because it's not a common topic. Finance, even in general, hasn't become a common topic since, I think, barely in 2020, people started, you know, thinking more about finance as a whole, you know, just like general. And learning about it and practicing different techniques. Barely in 2020, you saw people starting to do this more and more. People aren't really talking yet about cooperative economics. You know, people are still trying to get their own footing a lot of times. But most people do have something to give. Most of us have something we can give. You know, even if it's just knowledge. Most of us know something, you know, make a YouTube channel, even if you're not going to monetize it and make money, you probably have some kind of knowledge that you know more than somebody else. A lot of us have these interests where we just geek out on something, even gamers, you know, you probably have that game that you're really good at. You can tell everybody how to beat certain levels. I mean, it might seem like nothing, but it's taking the effort to give of what you have for the good of the community. Some of it's deep. Some of it's like, oh, opening up a food bank, opening up a shelter, opening up some kind of like fund for people to get housing. I mean, those are like big deals. But you can do something where you're just making comedy and making people laugh. You know, that's still helpful. People need to laugh. People need that. People need a break. They need to listen to a podcast and just like hear something and use their mind in a different way and like kind of get the gears turning. People need that sometimes. People need some food for thought. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm not saying I'm right. I mean, I'm here just like the rest of you, learning as I go. Trying to tweak things here and there, like, okay, this didn't work, okay, that worked better, let me try more of that and less of that. Sometimes I know what I need to be doing and I don't do it, and I do the other thing that I know isn't going to work as well, but I do it anyways because that's just what I chose to do. Maybe it's an impulsive decision. But cooperative economics is a very interesting one. You know, I think it worries people to think about giving. I mean, if you just get in the habit of doing it, you're going to think about it more. You know, I always liked, I mean, I'm not saying I know everything about Judaism. I'm not Jewish, but I always liked this Jewish mindset of people helping another person to do a mitzvah. I always liked that. You know, the people who reach out to their community and they're like, let me help you do this. Like, I was watching something where this guy was saying, you know, there's these holy days. There's these holy days that people, you know, are supposed to keep. Like the Sabbath. Like Sukkot. There's different holy days mentioned in the Bible that the Jews traditionally keep. Now, if you're an isolated person, you might not have family and friends and things like that where you know, or maybe you don't know any other Jewish people, or maybe you don't have Jewish family, or maybe you're a convert or something. And it's a mitzvah for people who can afford to do so to make an event or open up their home so that different people, you know, can come into their home or come into their environment and keep these holy days. Somebody sometimes makes it so, for example, there might be like a home that somebody has, and they have, say they have a son who goes to a yeshiva, a Jewish school for learning, and say the son is like 17 years old and he has friends. And maybe some of his friends are boarding at the school and don't have a local family. And maybe this household says to the school, I can accept 6 other students every once a month, you know, and open up my house once, like the first Sabbath of every month, you know, let us know beforehand and send us 6 extra people that don't have a place to go for the Sabbath. And, you know, the school would be like, okay, like, these people can sign up. Whoever doesn't have a place to go can go to student so-and-so's house. And they plan it in advance. And now these students have a place to go for the Sabbath to eat a meal with a family, with someone who's maybe a classmate or a schoolmate. And they get to celebrate at home, even if it's not every week. Maybe it's every week. Maybe it's once a month. I grew up in a church where there were people who would open their homes and make a Bible study and order like a whole bunch of chow mein and chicken wings, and we would eat and learn about something in the Bible and have a discussion and check in about our weeks. And I mean, these people had the means to open up their home to spend time learning something in the Bible. It would be like on a Monday night, it's in the week, they're done with work, and then we come over at 7 p.m. and we stay till like 9:30 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever. Like, instead of that family just like vegging out in front of the TV, they're being productive with their time and the fact that they have a household. These people had like 3 or 4 kids, they were a young couple, and they still let us come over every week for like probably like a year or two. They ordered, not even on the church credit card, they ordered out of their own pocket takeout for us, and we were, you know, college students and stuff, and we would take home plates. You know, I'd be eating chow mein and like chicken wings for the next couple meals because they let us take it home. At a certain point, we started bringing like Tupperware, and we would just like fill our Tupperware with the leftovers. I had many people like this in my life that would open their home and make it so that we could have these free events. You know, we used to spend Friday nights at people's houses, Saturday nights at different people's houses, like I said, the Monday night. Like, I can't tell you how many countless people I knew that something as simple as open up their home, and instead of being lazy and just vegging out after work, and they're tired, it's not like they have all the energy in the world, it's not like they have all the money in the world, but they take 3-4 hours out of a Monday night, out of their weekend, and they stay up late with us, hang out with us, you know, and it was productive for them, and we liked it, you know. Not everybody's into, like, Bible studies or, you know, collegiate, you know, groups or, like, church groups and that kind of stuff. Some of it wasn't even church-related. We'd, like, eat pizza and watch movies or play cards or whatever, or play poker, whatever. Like, not for money, but just for chips or whatever. And, you know, we would play video games. Like, people would just open up their homes for us to come over and be able to just watch stuff, hang out, do stuff. And it didn't cost us anything but whatever the gas money was to get there. They didn't ask everybody pitching $5. There wasn't that. People would just buy, you know, expensive Papa John's pizzas. Like, 5 Papa John's pizzas. Like, that's over, like, $100 worth of pizza every week, you know. Just because they could, you know. And that's a form of cooperative economics. I mean, it's not, you know, maybe, like, they weren't giving us money to, like, go to college and stuff, but there were times when I helped people move, and this one family gave me money for school books, you know, for in college and stuff, like, you know. And I'm not saying people have to be a part of a church, but I saw this more through a church lens, so it's easier for me to talk about it through, like, a religious kind of experience, because that's kind of where I experienced it from. But you don't even have to do religious things, you know. You can have people over for movie nights, you know, if you can afford to do things like that, you know. Why not be a little creative and create spaces for people to kind of have experiences and community together? I mean, this benefits people. It takes you away from Netflix and YouTube and all that other stuff, but it benefits people. It benefits all the people who come over that would have otherwise been just alone at home, like, vegging out by themselves, you know, just, like, playing video games online, whatever. Maybe they're watching live streams, watching sports, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that either, but it's, like, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's hard for me to, you know, go out because it costs a lot of money. It's like, there are a lot of people out there who make events for people to go to that doesn't cost you any money. They're not asking for any cash up front. They don't ask for you to contribute. All you got to do is show up. And there's a lot of stuff like that. So it doesn't have to be upfront money. Sometimes it's like the people who have that wealth, that shared social wealth, they have that wealth to be able to create that time and spend their money on, like, pizzas or food or whatever. And they practice doing that. And, you know, it helps to, you know, have people feel, you know, accepted. And maybe, like, everyone's not besties, but, I mean, it feels like a little something to look forward to in your week. And some people give in that way, you know. Some people give in that other way, like I mentioned, with, like, the Jewish people that help other people keep different commandments. You know, they have an opportunity set up so that people can go into this sukkah, into this dwelling, and they can have a meal in this dwelling that this other family paid for, that people can come in and sleep in it and stay in it for however many days of that holy day, because they maybe don't have the space or maybe don't have the means to, like, get their own sukkah for the holiday. And they set up events for other people to do it. So that's days 2, 3, and 4. My voice is kind of giving out. But yeah, guys, happy Kwanzaa.
keep at it. Keep, you know, building community. You know, man.